So I grew up in Minnesota, where, like most places, we have some sort of odd local traditions. One that comes to mind is lutefisk. This is a food. It is a kind of fish jelly, reviled by many, but also beloved by others. And it is definitely a kind of Minnesotan slash Scandinavian dish. Or one of my favorites still is the tradition of when it gets really, really cold, like negative 20 degrees. You take a cup of boiling water outside and you throw it into the air and it becomes a puff of water vapor. It never hits the ground. It doesn't freeze. It just sublimates into nothing. It is actually so cool. Of course, it is a very specific Minnesotan thing because you have to live somewhere where it actually gets to be like negative 20 degrees. So those are my stories from growing up in Minnesota. But obviously, these kinds of local traditions exist everywhere. And today, our colleagues are going to share some of their stories about where they grew up. Like Nikki, who brought an Italian-style wedding to the streets of New York. Or Chrissy, who has a particular childhood story to share. Or Zach, who tells us about his hometown that is inspired by the mythological bird, the phoenix. And it is not, in fact, Phoenix, Arizona. It's somewhere else. I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. More after this. If you're looking for a trip full of the extraordinary and unexpected, then you need to get off the beaten path and head to Missouri. The City Museum in St. Louis has got to be one of the coolest places that I have ever been. But it's just one of many wonders found in Missouri. You can play a chess game at the World Chess Hall of Fame, also home to the world's largest chess piece. You can tour a reimagined ghost town brought back to life as outdoor art at Red Oak 2 in Carthage. Or go on a crazy underwater adventure at Bonterre Mine, one of the world's largest man-made caverns and freshwater scuba diving resorts. Or throw back craft beers 50 feet underground at O'Malley's Pub in Weston. Missouri is a place full of surprise and delight. Don't miss out on Missouri, because whether it is weird, wondrous, or the world's largest, there is an MO for every traveler in Missouri. Find yours at visitmo.com.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Nikki, and I'm on the trips team at Atlas Obscura. When I was getting married, I really wanted to incorporate traditions. I'm half Sicilian Puerto Rican. My spouse is Puerto Rican. And so we looked at a lot of like old school traditions that don't even exist anymore just to kind of bring it in and incorporate into our New York City wedding. So in Italy, in Sicily specifically, back in the day, you would walk to your wedding from the house, have a little procession. It wasn't like this official cultural tradition thing. It was just that the villages were small and that's how you would get to the church. You would walk from your house to the church. And I'd actually seen it a few times when I was in Italy, seen the bride walking along the street. And I always had that in my head. The church we got married at in New York City is about a mile and a half from our house. So as a New Yorker, I was like, oh, I can walk that. Like I've walked it before in heels, no problem. But my bridal party refused. They were like, absolutely not. Are we doing this in our dresses and our heels? So we compromised and we took the subway. And in the end, very randomly unplanned, a lot of my family ended up joining. They all came to my house beforehand and then they joined us in walking. So we had this pretty big group walking down the sidewalk. Now I got married in August, so everyone was out. We know all of our neighbors. My family's been in the neighborhood for four generations, so they all knew we were going to pass by. Everyone's on their front porches. Our neighbors were waving. Our florist popped out of the shop when we passed by. Our pharmacist ran out when he saw us. He said to us, like, he's like, oh, it's like the old village watching you guys walk by. And then, again, it was warm outside, so everyone was outside dining. Every restaurant we passed, everyone would burst into applause. Cars were honking. It really felt like the whole neighborhood came out to see me off, which was really cool.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Fellow passengers on the train fell into three camps. One, were thrilled to see us, saying congratulations. Two, immediately switched cars. Like, they came in the doors, saw me in a wedding dress, and immediately turned around and went to the next car. And then the third, they just ignored that we weren't there. So they'd come in, they'd kind of like stiffen, because it's like, oh, something's happening on this car. And then they'd go to the corner and just sit down and not look at us, which feels like about right for New York City. So we took the train two stops, because again, it was very close. We totally could have walked. All of our guests were waiting on the sidewalk, so no one was inside the church. We definitely started late because of this, and everyone was like outside. So I turned the corner and like everyone's there. And I don't know, it's one of the best memories that I have that day, seeing all my friends and family and having the neighborhood cheer me on.
I'm Chrissy, and I'm an advertising sales planner here at Atlas Obscura. My unique hometown tradition is the Lilac Festival in Rochester, New York. Every spring in early May, or sometimes mid-May, depending on how the winter went, the lilac bushes in Highland Park come to bloom. Highland Park was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted, who also designed Central Park, and in the late 1800s or early 1900s, they planted 500 varieties of lilac bushes and over 1,200 individual shrubs. So as I said, in May, these come to bloom and it's beautiful. The fragrance is incredible. And they started throwing a huge party surrounding the lilac blooms. So this is going back again to like early 1900s. And I used to go to this festival and go to see the lilacs as a child with my grandparents. And growing up, I always thought about like, this has been going on for so long. They even went when they were kids. But now when I think about how long this tradition has been happening and how long the lilacs have been blooming, I'm realizing that even my great-grandparents would have gone to this. The festival has evolved into having live music every day, tons of food and drink, art vendors, even a 10K race. So if you ever find yourself in Rochester, New York in May, come see the lilacs.
Hi, I'm Zach Martellucci, Director of Operations for the Experiential Team at Atlas Obscura, and I grew up in and around a town called Phoenixville in Pennsylvania. It's like an old steel mill town nestled on like the French Creek and Schuylkill River in southeastern Pennsylvania. And the town, it's called Phoenixville, and it gets its name from the Phoenix Iron Works, which is an old iron mill that I think dates back to like the late 1700s. And they made like a lot of iron products. I think they made cannons for the Union Army in the Civil War. I know they made like iron beams that went on to build bridges that we all know around the world, including, I believe, the Manhattan Bridge in New York City. So the Iron Works, Phoenix Iron Works, was a big part of the town, but it ended up closing in the late 1980s. And the town, because of that, took like a pretty intense economic downturn. But just like the name suggests, the town, Phoenixville, has since like risen from the ashes and is this like bustling, fun little town again. And so about 20 years ago, the town started to celebrate its history and this like rebirth with what they call and what they still call the Firebird Festival. The Phoenix has always been like a symbol of the town. I mean, I grew up playing soccer with, you know, jerseys that have a Phoenix on them. The festival is really focused around this Phoenix, the Firebird. It takes place in December. Usually there's music, there's, you know, food, there's crafts, vendors, all sorts of stuff. But the main event is centered around a massive wooden sculpture of a phoenix. Designed by a local artist, usually takes them like 3 months to make it. It's like 20 feet tall. It's super beautiful, super elaborate. And the whole town comes together to come and watch as they light the phoenix on fire. So this massive phoenix gets turned into a giant, giant bonfire. And then over the next, you know, a couple hours into the next day, the bonfire is then used to harden these little clay birds that were made in the weeks leading up to the festival. The phoenix sculpture itself is like super elaborate, very intricately designed, which I think makes it even more beautiful when they burn it, because they're taking something so beautiful and it makes it such a passing moment. There's something really inspiring to me about this tradition and about watching a town come back to life as I grew up. And the festival is just such a fun way to honor that history, remind people that we can, you know, all rise back up from the ashes, just like the phoenix that gave its name to our town.
I'm Johanna Mayer. I'm the senior producer on the Atlas Obscura podcast. And my weird local tradition is Tractor Day. I grew up in a kind of small town in Missouri with a lot of agriculture. There are a whole lot of farming families in the area. And Future Farmers of America, or FFA, has a pretty big presence in the local high school. It's this organization that promotes agricultural education. And every year, FFA would put on Tractor Day. And on Tractor Day, all of the kids in FFA would actually drive their tractors to school, to high school. Supposedly, the point was to do safety inspections and have education about maintenance, but honestly, I am pretty sure that everybody just wanted an excuse to roll up to school in a tractor. And like I said, it's a fairly rural area, so there were kids driving these tractors really long distances to get to the school. I think that it would take some of them like more than an hour to get there. And the high school parking lot would be just filled with tractors, mostly like the super bright green John Deere ones, but also some more old school reddish ones. And I remember parking my normal car was really tough that day. And one year, this also extended to prom. A kid and his date actually drove a tractor to the prom location, and they were wearing a camouflage print suit and dress. It was amazing. Personally, I never participated in Tractor Day, but honestly, I kind of wish that I had. I mean, when else will I get a chance to drive a tractor to work or school?
Now, of course, we want to hear from all of you. We know you have weird hometowns and weird local customs. Tell us about it. Tell us what happened in the place that you grew up. Was there an interesting history behind it? Why did it exist? What was your relationship to the tradition when you were growing up? And what is your relationship to it now? Did it play a role in the way you see the world or the place you grew up? Anyway, these are all things we want to hear from you. So give us a call at 315-992-7902 and leave us a message telling us your name and your story. Just so you know, the mailbox will cut you off after about 2 minutes. So just call back if you get disconnected, or you can record a voice memo and email it to us at hello@atlasobscura.com. I cannot wait to hear from all of you. This episode was produced by
Manolo Morales.
Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Johanna Mayer,
Baudelaire,
Gabby Gladney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
And our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I will see you next time. The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure that you're always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.